is Pastor Patrick Hines here at Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church on a beautiful spring day. It is April 7th, 2021, and I wanted to do a special brief program today about an issue that it's not an issue I particularly like talking about, but I think it's something I need to address, the issue of gayness and homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. And people that know me and have listened to the podcast and just to my webcasting too, I've addressed this issue quite a bit over the last few years because it really was one of the main reasons we left the PCA was its collapse on issues related to the subject. The primary reason being really the full accepting of the idea of sexual orientation as a fixed and unchangeable category of human personhood, that it just is what it is. You kind of, you're born with it, and then you at some point in your life, you discover it. It's what one of those letters, LGBT, whatever. I guess C would have to be one too, cisgender. Anyway, you discover it, and then you can come out with it or whatever. The idea that people just are intrinsically or biologically inherently homosexual, that was really one of the big problems, because pastorally speaking, that is that's a very cruel thing to lead someone to think that they just are whatever letter on the list, that's just what they are, and that really in effect they're trapped and they're stuck there and they never can be anything other than that. When, as a matter of fact, the reality is homosexual is simply a term used to describe certain behaviors, just like theft. One of the passages of scripture that comes to mind that I think illustrates this pretty well would be 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. I guess it would help if I actually had Bible Works up here. You could type into it. There it is. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So Paul knew individuals in the church there that were overrun with these sorts of sins. Now, we call someone a fornicator if they are someone who does that regularly. If they do it a lot and they don't care, they're just kind of, you know, doing it all the time and they're unrepentant for it, you might say, yeah, that individual is a fornicator. An adulterer, a man who's married and has a serious porn addiction, or is constantly committing adultery with women he's not married to, committing adultery against his wife, you might describe that individual as an adulterer. And the same thing with the next two terms. The term homosexual, the word that's translated homosexual there, the term is arsenikoites. Arsenikoites refers to the active party in a male homosexual relationship, and then it says nor sodomites, and that of course is the term malakoi. Or actually, it's actually reversed. Malakoi is translated homosexual there. Sodomite. Actually, I think that's wrong. Hold on one second. Make sure I get this right. The order of the terms doesn't really matter. I just want to make sure I'm seeing that right. There's Malakoi and then arsenikoitai. Okay. So, but anyway, someone who habitually commits those kinds of sins would, you could call them homosexual. Okay, and the passage, of course, goes on here, verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous. Well, what do they mean by a thief? Someone, he's identifying people as thieves, and identifying people as covetous, or drunkards. What is that? Well, it's someone who steals all the time. It's someone who gets drunk all the time. Someone who constantly is doing that, is unrepentant and unapologetic for it, and just does it all the time. We would use those terms to designate an individual who habitually committed those types of sins. In doing that, we are not making any kind of statement about what they actually are intrinsically, inherently, or biologically. No one is inherently a thief. And it wouldn't be helpful if you were a Christian and you stood up and told the world, I'm a Christian, I'm washed in the blood of Christ, I've repented, and I'm a thief. I think people would kind of scratch their heads like, what are you talking about? The real encouraging thing in this passage here, and such were some of you. Not such are some of you, but such were some of you. These Corinthian people used to be overrun with these sins. Now, when they came to Christ, it doesn't mean they quit struggling with a temptation or desire to do that stuff. People who were habitually engaged in fornication, when they become a Christian, the power of that sin is broken over them, but its presence is still going to be there. A desire to do it will often plague them, and they will have to fight against it. Same thing with idolatry, with adultery, with homosexuality, with the active and passive part there, the arsenikoites, the active part, and the malakoi, the passive person, the effeminate one. The desire to steal will probably still be there too. But those individuals would not identify themselves by those labels anymore. Once a thief, someone who just steals constantly, comes to know Christ, they're not going to identify themselves as a thief. And the reason for that is it is a direct biblical teaching. We are told exactly how to identify ourselves, how to conceive of ourselves. Romans 6:11 is such an encouraging passage. It's a passage that has had a great effect on my own change and my own growth over the years of walking with the Lord. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. I'm going to pull it up here to the top of the screen. Oops, Romans 6:11. Pull up Greek here. Okay. You also reckon yourselves. There's that term logizomai. That's actually the word impute. Consider. Account. Account yourself to be dead to sin. Not a thief. Don't think of yourself as a thief who's now a Christian. Don't think of yourself as a fornicator who's now a Christian. Or gay who's now a Christian. Or a lesbian who's now a Christian, or a drunkard who's now a Christian. If you're a Christian, this is how you think about yourself. You think about yourself to be nekrus, dead, me te hamartia, to sin, dead indeed to sin, and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. That's such a great passage. Think of yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So whatever the sins are that you've dealt with in your life, once you are baptized and believe the gospel and you're brought into the church, you are to think of yourself as belonging to God now and a person who has died to sin. So the sin that once mastered you doesn't master you anymore. You have been set free from it and you are free from its power and its tyranny over you. Now, what about someone who today, because of a lot of the false teaching that's going on, where you have the idea of gay identity and gay this and gay that being taught everywhere in college. I mean, I even was taught that stuff when I was an undergrad, that there are people who are just gay. When I was at my first jobs in the workforce, when I was a computer programmer in 1997, 98, 99, all the way through the early 2000s, I was a programmer until 2007. So from 1997 to 2007, I had to go through a lot of diversity training. And they would talk about Hispanics and Latinos and blacks, gays and lesbians and Caucasians. And so they put it in the same category as race. And even then I thought that that was strange. And it was funny. One of those diversity training things, when I worked at US Bank in Cincinnati, there were contractors from overseas. There was a Russian guy there who raised his hand and objected very strongly to that and said, this is not in the same category. And his real thick Russian accent was thought that that was bizarre. And even said, what's wrong with you Americans that you guys don't understand something so simple as that. Anyway, like, you have to be American to be as, you know, to be as confused as we are. anyway, but because of the confusion, because this is what's being pumped into kids in the government schools, it was pumped into me when I was an undergraduate major at Ohio University, which is a pretty liberal state school. I got a good education there. I learned a lot there about programming, and even my other courses for being well-rounded, like the history courses, the humanities courses, and stuff like that, they were useful, business law, all that stuff. But we got the party line. We were fed all of the ideas that are dominating today about gay issues and all that sort of thing. Having said that, it will happen very often that someone who is a true Christian, they really are a Christian, will identify themselves as gay. And it's not that they're just living in rebellion or they're sinning or they're on their way to hell, but because what they think that it's okay to call yourself that if you have an ongoing struggle with that sin. If you have an ongoing, unwanted same-sex attraction, Sometimes Christians, true Christians, who are true believers, who really are wanting to live a life pleasing to God, will say that they're gay. And we have to come alongside them and try to encourage them not to do that. It's not helpful to do that. And really, Romans 6:11 is the passage you want to take them to. Don't think of yourself as gay anymore. Think of yourself as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. You want to consider yourself, adopt the self-conception of dead to sin. Okay, so the ongoing sin problems that you have do not define you any longer. They did before you came to Christ, but now that you're a Christian, now, whoops, let me pull up Romans 6:18. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And so the believer is set free from the tyranny and domination of sin, although they're not set free from its presence, because it will always be there. And those sins that I dealt with when I was 18 years old, most of them are still there and are still a problem. And I still have to fight against them. And I'm accountable to men. And there's guys I talk to in the church, and I text with people and all that kind of stuff. And we cheer each other on, and we want to be accountable. And we want to stay pure and focused and everything else. But because of the confusion that's been created by our society in using everything short of the barrel of a gun to get people to think this way, that gay is simply something people are by nature, that they are intrinsically, inherently, biologically gay, and that it's a fixed and unchanging part of their constitution as a human being, often people will misuse the terms. Just remember, gay or homosexual, really the term gay used to be a term that just meant happy. It was kind of hijacked in the last few decades, but sodomite or homosexual, that's a term that we use to describe behavior, not a person's constitution as a person. No more than the word thief. Like, if someone has a habitual issue with stealing, we don't just say, "This is my friend so-and-so, he's a thief." And they wouldn't want to do that either, because it would be embarrassing, and it would degrade them as a person. And especially if you're a true believer, you don't want to adopt a certain sin as a label you tie to yourself. Just because you have ongoing struggles with certain sins does not mean that those sins define your existence, or that you should use that label to define yourself. It may be an ongoing struggle, but you are not intrinsically, inherently, or biologically a thief or gay, or a fornicator, or an adulterer, or an idolater, or a reviler, or an extortioner. You're a baptized child of the living God, justified by faith in him, and cleansed by his shed blood, and justified by his imputed righteousness. That's who you are now, if you're a Christian. But having said that, just because someone says they're gay doesn't mean they're necessarily going to hell. You really have to find out what they mean when they say that. Because they might just be saying that I have ongoing but unwanted same-sex attraction. And that's when we can come alongside those individuals and help them to think more biblically about who they are in the light of the gospel. Because that's really where we draw our identity. And the imagery that's used in Romans 6 is wonderful. That being united to Christ, when a person repents and believes, they're united to the Lord Jesus. And it says in Romans 6 that they died with Christ. Okay, and what that means is the old man, the old self, the person that was once enslaved to sin and unrepentant about it because it loved sin, that person died. You see verse 6 here, I'll highlight it on the screen here. Knowing this, and this is a fact, this is something Jesus accomplished, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. So that simply means the dominion of sin, the whole controlling force of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And yet we know that that does not mean we stop sinning, nor does that mean that all of our desires are pure from then on, because they're often not. And the struggle with sin is a monumental struggle. It is a huge struggle. It is a struggle that is exhausting and can be very discouraging and can just make you feel so dirty and so bad all the time. And yet, that fight goes on. You have to fight and fight and fight. And think about Romans 7:15. Paul the Apostle says, "What I am doing, I do not understand, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." We are a strange thing that human beings are. In our regenerate state, when we're born again by God's Spirit, we have holy desires. We have holy aspirations. We want to be righteous and godly and faithful. But so often, what we hate, what I hate, that I do. But the struggle is what characterizes the life of a Christian. So I want to encourage people who, maybe because they're so used to hearing people use the label gay, or I'm a lesbian, I'm gay, I'm this, I'm that, not to use that as a label to describe yourself. If you've been united to Christ, the old man died. And you are to think about yourself, you are to reckon yourself to be dead to those old sins that once had mastery and dominion over you, but alive to God in Christ. So you're not a thief. You're not a reviler. You're not a drunkard anymore. Now, acknowledging I have an ongoing struggle with alcohol abuse, I have an ongoing struggle with this or that, that's fine, and you should do that. You should be willing to own up to whatever your sin issues are, but that doesn't mean that you adopt the label, because it's confusing to people. They don't know what you mean by it. What do you mean you're gay? Well, I have ongoing unwanted sexual, you know, attraction to the same gender. Well, you don't want to think about yourself that way. If you're a man, God designed you for romantic involvement with a woman, and unless you have the gift of celibacy, lifelong celibacy, which is pretty rare, but it does happen. Some people have that rare gift. 1 Corinthians 7 speaks about it. If you don't have that gift, you should be thinking about marriage and thinking about finding a spouse, you know, obviously of the opposite gender. That's the only kind of spouse there is. But you need to be in prayer that God would make you ready and make that person ready for when you meet and make that commitment to one another. So just want to make sure it's very clear to everyone. Just because someone says I'm gay, it's not like you can immediately go, ah, they're lost, they're going to hell. They might just be really confused because of the labels that get thrown around and the words that are used by our culture and society. And so definitions are real important. You need to find out what someone means. What's very important for Christians especially to understand is that sexual orientation is a mythological category. It doesn't exist. You and I don't have sexual orientations. If you're a man, you were designed by God for sex with one woman, your wife. If you're a woman, you were designed by God for sex with one man, your husband. And within the confines of marriage and within the context of marriage and a loving, intimate relationship where there's good communication, it's a huge blessing. The sexual component of marriage is a huge, huge blessing. But you do not want to adopt your former sin issues to be something that you call yourself, because it's directly contrary to Romans 6:11. You are to reckon yourself. You are to call yourself dead to sin. Think of yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just because someone claims that they are gay, what they really might just be saying is that they have same-sex attraction that they don't really want, or they're confused by that kind of thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that person is without a doubt lost and on their way to hell. If someone wants to defend the idea of sexual orientation as a real thing and that they are really gay and it's a fixed and unchanging category of personhood, I have to wonder, do they know? Do they really know Christ? Do they really know the transforming and liberating power of God in their life? Because the grace of God does not allow us to think that way. The grace of God shows us that we are not the slaves of sin anymore. And so if someone is like vitriolic and hardcore about, no, I am this, and orientation's a real thing, and there's not a doubt about it, this is what I am, and it can't change, and God doesn't want me to repent, that's not a good sign. So I hope that's been helpful. I know this isn't a very long program. I usually talk a little bit longer, but I wanted to get that out there in case there's any confusion about things that I have said about this. A lot of people will say, I'm gay, and they don't mean by it what a lot of other people might mean by it. You need to find out what they mean. A lot of times all they're saying is, I have an ongoing issue with this, but they don't really define themselves by that, and nor do they believe that sexual orientation is a real thing. They just have unwanted same-sex attraction, and that's actually fairly common. That's how Rosaria Butterfield talks about it, too, and I think that's a fairly helpful way of discussing it. So anyway, that's right at the 20-minute mark. Thank you all for watching or for listening. This is Pastor Patrick Hines of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church, and you've been listening to the Pulpit Supplemental Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.bridwellheightspca.org. Our sermons are streamed through Sermon Audio, and you can listen to that on the iTunes podcast version of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church. Feel free to join us any Sunday morning for worship at 11 a.m. sharp at 108 Bridwell Heights Road in Kingsport, Tennessee. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.